Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the host, guest, or agent with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and you are listening to El Islam-based conversations. We had a little challenges last week or so. We hope that it's been corrected and we'll have smooth sailing. You know, it's something that you enjoy doing, and the joy gets taken out of it. It's sort of a challenge. So when you come back, you're probably more conscious, and that you, not you, but we take things for granted. And it's a blessing to be able to do and have comfort and ease, and to do what you think will benefit others. I mean, that's one of the things that gets me started and gets me motivated, and having people listen and share what they think was said, and then also share with others so that they can come in here, and it gets to be a big family, a big community. Because when you get on the same page as other people, that's when you really can begin to see the results that come. Before I get to talking about that, let me share with you all the, I guess you could say, the mission statement, and that is that we don't waste your time, or we don't intend to waste your time or insult your intelligence. This waste your time is probably going to be, but it's going to be very significant today. Because we're going to talk about time, but before that, we're going to just kind of just slow down and take our time, get back into, I won't say the swing of things, but get back into the spirit that we really need and we really want to be conveying a message that is not necessarily our message, but we're just the messengers. And I think that sometimes that's not clear, not on this program necessarily. I'm just talking about in life in general. You know, you have something you want to share. You have something you want to tell somebody. Nowadays, it's very challenging to do that because people just aren't listening. They don't feel like they need it, or if they do need it, they don't need it from certain people because they've come to think that certain people have it and other people don't have it. So there's a lot of, I'll call it chaos in the world today. Another feature that you see today, if you're out and about or going back and forth, and this is going to come up in the conversation too, more extensively toward the end, not toward the end, but a little bit later, but people are in a rush. They're in a hurry just to get in their car and go do whatever. If you have to get in your car and go to work, you'll see if you get on the freeway or get on the way you go, you've been in the habit of going, and you just stop and just observe it, you'll see the speed that the cars are going and the look on the people's face. It's just like they want to get there, and they want to get there fast, and then when they get there, they want to leave there and come back fast, and you would think they have something of importance to do, but it's the lack of real patience, the getting turned on to be in a hurry and in a rush to get this thing over. If you have a job like I do, one of the main conversations on that job is it's Monday, and they're pushing and waiting and excited as it gets closer and closer to Friday. So the conversation starts on Monday, and it continues until, thank God, it's Friday. And I'm saying that's a terrible thing to, when you stop and think about it, I'm not talking about anybody. I'm talking to us about how we get caught up in this thing called work and jobs, and at the same time, it's not a place that we want to be. Because the first thing I hear, you know, used to say water cooler or at the coffee, whatever, but the first thing I hear, it's a good day. Yeah, it's a good enough day, just because, but it's Monday. You know, all considering that it is Monday. And so what I'm saying to you is that I'm asking you really more than I'm saying, do you hear that kind of conversations on the job or in the situation or anywhere? It doesn't have to be a job. Some people retire. Some people don't have a job. But I'm not retiring. I have a job, and I hear the conversation that I'm telling you about. I hear the innuendos, and they don't get any better until Friday comes. And right around what they used to call hump day, you know, back in the day, I think Geico was very... They tended to educate, that was for sure. It was just whatever. But so we wanna look at that today. You know, what is the rush? What are we rushing to? What are we in a hurry about? And what happens when you get in a rush and in a hurry? What comes over our spirit? What is our attention paying attention to? What is it? Getting paid. That's what it's on. You know, a lot of jobs, people will tell you about the job, and this is the way that I'm going to describe in a minute. And that is that it pays the rent. You know? So what is it? What's being left out in that? It pays the rent. What's being left out in that? That you don't have any joy. You don't have any spirit to be a part of what's going on there. And when the one thing that you do have that you were willing to talk about is that it pays a job. And the other thing that comes up very frequently is the politics, you know, the hierarchy and the decisions that they make that affect us or that they tell us that we have to do. So I'm saying all this to say that there's a lot of chaos in the world today. There's a lot of movement. And from what I can gather, and hopefully when you call in and have what you have to say, you can say what's your take. What are you experiencing? What's your environment like? What's the culture that you put yourself in every day? Is it enjoyable? Is it beneficial other than it pays the bills? Is it one that you like to be around, that you enjoy the people and the people enjoy you? You all have a communication that's very open and free, and there's a lot of commonality going on in these places. I have to admit, there isn't that. The thing that the people have in common is they're joking around. With the comments that they make to each other and about each other. That seems to be the highlight for the environment, you know, sort of the put down, you know, and then everybody gets a kind of little laugh at individuals or whatever, and that seems to be the idea of having fun or having a little humor to get you through the day. And so what I'm saying when I look at the scripture and I look at what scripture has to say about that, you know, don't make your life get filled with small talk, sport and play, who's playing the game, what season is going on. Now, I'm not saying don't do that. I'm saying don't do that to the point that it is the main focus. It's like it's the seasons that bring in the weather, winter, summer, spring, fall, you know. It's like that's what the focus is. It's not so much on the weather. It's not so much on accomplishment. It's not so much on how I'm using my time. It's how I'm being entertained, how I am enjoying, you know, the word fan. That's a short for fanatical. The desired way that they want you to be when it comes to sports is a fan, fanatical. You see faces painted and all kind of activity that goes on before the game. These are loyal fans. How did they get to be loyal fans? They got to be loyal fans because they adopted this team and they follow this team and they support this team and they spend money on tickets every year for this team. And it's what? The thing to do. It doesn't get looked at, scrutinized. You know, it's a tradition that comes into play. And how many more traditions do we find ourselves in? That people aren't doing it conscious anymore. They're doing it because it's a twisted tradition. This family has done A, B, C, D. This family is a Cleveland Brown fan. This family is the Green Bay Packers. And they follow it to the managers, the wins, the loss, the quarterback, the running back, who's, you know, it just becomes a consuming theme without us necessarily being conscious that that's what's happening. So that's an invitation to take some time and see exactly what you are putting yourself, the environment that you're in every day, and the conversations that you're hearing every day, and the small talk and the whatever. And when you ask people how they're doing, they respond with something favorable. You very seldom, or at least I very seldom, and that's another question that's put out there, in the environment that you're on, do people tell you anything other than what they think you want to hear? How you doing? Oh, I'm good. I'm great. Not necessarily trying to be truthful, but trying to appear to be enjoying this thing called life, in touch with what you need to be in touch with, and it's not dictating to you. You're dictating to it. But I would beg to differ, because the majority of the people that I see, not only just at work, but just out and about, there's this look that they have that says they're kind of removed, or they're kind of unconscious of what's really going on. And when something goes on, like that happened to me today, I'm getting my gas, and I just pause for a couple of minutes. I want to, you know, get all everything straight and then take off. The person behind me took exception to the amount of time that I was taking before I left. You got your gas. I pulled up to get some gas. You need to be gone by now. So they blew their horn. I don't know if it was a man or woman, or black or white. I don't know any of that, because I didn't respond to it. It resonated with me that this person fits in the category of what we just got through talking about. They don't even have the patience when it's time to get the gas. They want to get in there and get out and go wherever. It may not be home, it may not be whatever, but they definitely, this person didn't have any tolerance and any patience for the amount of time that I took. And when they decided that it was too much time, they blew their horn. And I'm saying that's the kind of behavior you see today. Other people are concerned and irritated by things that you really can't control. I could have been sick or something. I could have having a bout with something. That wasn't even the thought or the concern. Was the thought and concern was you're moving too slow. And then when you carry that train of thought throughout the common person, the speed of the computer, it's taking too long to come on. It's taking too much to buffer and boot up. You know, and then you go and get it checked out. You know, you go and do what you need to do, because when we want to get on our computers, we want them to come on. We want no problems. We want to go right and do what we got to do and whatever. So I'm asking you to ask yourself, is this a healthy way to think? Is this a healthy environment to be in where people are thinking like that? And if you are paying attention, which I hope you are, you're looking at seeing what's going on in the news. And I know sometimes people say, I don't want to look at the news, nothing but bad news. Yeah, well, isn't it a good idea to know what's going on in the world around you? Isn't it a good idea to take a look around and see what other people are doing, experiencing, or what's happening in the world? You know? Two topics that pick up for me and catch my eye. I mean, I don't know why they do, but they do. The number of divorces that people are getting in a variety of ways and situations and whatnot, and then their response after the divorce. And it goes back to the same thing that we've been talking about, or I introduced. Time after time, people, under all circumstances, it can be a lot of years, it could be a small amount of time, they throw in the towel. They're done with it. And what they desire to try to do is to co-parent with the children. But a lot of times, that might have been the problem in the marriage. They couldn't agree on how this child that was their child was going to be raised, what it was going to do, and how, what was going to be the discipline, what was going to be the guidelines, what was going to be whatever. And one was maybe was giving, being too lax about it, or one was getting too much. Because nowadays, you know, you're going to have double, mostly double income. And a lot of the time, housekeeping and all those kind of chores still, because of time and tradition, fall on the woman. And if the man is brought up back in the day in the pink and blue syndrome, you know, where women did the work, but that was before they had to go to work. See, consideration and taking the time to see that the distribution of the maintenance and the upkeep is done in a way that it's not about me, it's about we. We both live here, we both need to be aware of upkeep and maintenance and putting in our share of time, energy, and money in it. So once again, then, this is not marriage conferences or marriage, whatever. It's a good example, I think, because today's life and lifestyle is really suffering. And if you look at the other things that I'm going to bring to attention that's in the news today that people aren't probably seeing, people are dying earlier. People are getting health challenges earlier. And no one seems to be worried that LeBron James' son just had a cardiac arrest at 18. Think it might have something to do with his father? Oh, no, his dad's trying to get, yeah, but just think about what it would be like, or what it must be like, or what it could be like, or what would be a good question to ask LeBron James' son. What it's like being LeBron James, having LeBron James as a father. Such great expectations. Such momentous questions. All the time you're in the spotlight because of your father. Or maybe you lack a spotlight. Maybe you want to be. Maybe you got competition and you're going to be better than him. Maybe whatever. But then again, maybe you're not. And now they're looking at it and saying, they got it. It's got to play out. It's got to see. Got to give it some time. But this illustrious career that he was planning on having may have gotten jeopardized because of the heart cardiac arrest that he had. It's still under observation. But guess what? The pressure is still there. And I know time after time he's going to get asked questions. How's that health going? What's that decision mean? Are you going to be able to do this? Whoa, 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 whoa. When? How about a normal life? Talk about normal things. You know? Now, I understand he's come from this and he come from that and parents are this. There's that so-called norm is not going to be there. They're in the spotlight. They're in the limelight. Can't take it away. But what you can do is make sure that there's some normalcy in your life and it's not all about celebrity life. That child needs to know that life is going to present itself the way it's going to present itself. And if you have a silver spoon or you have a rich father or rich parents, they are not, they're doing you a disservice when they're not letting you grow up normal. Everything's given to you. You know, you don't have to work for stuff. It's just, you're my son, you have my last name, you're my daughter, you have my last name. You get this stuff. And you don't go to school with them. You don't know what they have to endure in their life. See? Or if you do know, that's a good thing. They're telling with you, they're sharing with you, or they tell you after the fact. Got a parents in mind, you know. Jada Pinkett Smith. Their children, highly critical of them because they were certain kind of parents or not certain kind of parents. And they blame their parents for the way that they say that they are now. And many other people feel that way. They have the ability, because of the judicial system, that you can go out and sue your parents and say that a lot of your problems that you're having now is because of the way your parents raised you or didn't raise you. And you can actually get monetary. You can actually put them on full blast and say they were never there. They were never in my life like I needed them to be. And whenever I needed them, they gave me this poop and rushed off. And now I'm 18 and 19, and I don't feel like I've been prepared to do what 18 and 19 years old do, and I want to blame my parents for that. And the judicial system said, okay, get a lawyer if you want to, and sue your parents. Now, I'm not saying it's very frequent, but I'm saying it's available for you to do. So what happens to when that happens? What suffers when that happens? The family structure suffers greatly, especially in the society that we live in today, in the world that we live in today, where this becomes a part of the information that people get. You don't have to necessarily ask for it. It's right there on YouTube or Instagram or whatever out there, Twitter. People are broadcasting their upbringing. Madonna's daughter, she did that. She talked about how it was to have Madonna as a mother. So, you know, not to let this be celebrity corner, but I'm saying to us that it should be an opportunity to take some time and see what's going on in the world. Don't just live in your own little world and think, well, everything's okay with me. Everything's okay with me. I don't buy into this Friday stuff. I don't buy into this weekend hump day and all that. Well, good. But how about looking around and see that we're outnumbered? There's a great deal more people who do buy into it. They're very serious about it. They communicate about it. They complain about it. They talk about it. It's a big topic. It's one of the favorite topics that people have. They are dissatisfied with their jobs, dissatisfied with the people they work with, and dissatisfied just to have what they think is working so hard. Salaries are up, benefits are up, but spirits are not up. Attitudes about jobs, you know, people are still coming back to jobs and coming back to environments that they grew up in and had spent a great deal of time in, and they're coming back and paying the dues back for people who didn't treat them right, who bullied them, who did whatever. These are the times that we're living in. And instead of talking about it and seeing the seriousness of it, it just kind of goes on and another shooting, another debate about guns, you know. And one of the distractions that's going on is finally looks like maybe they're going to treat Donald Trump the way Donald Trump needs to be treated. There's a possibility that this man is not going to get free with all the stuff that he did and all the misbehaving that he did when he had some power in this country called the presidency. And this is not gossip about Donald Trump. This is the state of affairs that are going on in the country that we live in. Where a man of that persuasion, of that braggadocious tone and superiority thinking and sexism thinking, got access to this country, one of the greatest countries in the world, for 4 years, and almost got it taken over in a coup d'etat people will never forget. January 6th is right there with September 11th, rightfully so. So, see you 314. So the state of affairs, I'm saying and I'm suggesting with all this information that I've been sharing up at this point, it's time to stop and take a look at what's going on around us and not turn a deaf ear or a blind eye to what's going on, especially when we have access to information and scripture that should make us think better and have solutions and have an environment that we can create that says that they're doing that out there, but in this house, we're trying to live an upright life, a life that's more based in scripture, and trying to make sure that we're on a car with it, the orientation is there, the education is there, and it's serving us because that's what it does. That's what it's there for to do. So let's go to 314. We'll get you in here and get you involved. 314.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. To you, Imam Azim Pasha. Mark Shaheed from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis in the Show-Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah for those who may be listening and don't know what that means. It just simply means that the praise and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost. A good topic, and a lot of the things that you're saying, you're right on point. You know, just listening to you speak about family and celebrity, normalcy, one of the things that has happened, obviously, is that abnormality has become normalcy. Mm-hmm. I think that what has to happen is that we have to look what should happen naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Natural. So when you, I think when we speak about family, we should be thinking about bonding. Bonding. You know, as a word psychologist, that word bonding is you want to be able to build on natural development and nurturing the growth in the relationship, whether it's the sacred institution of marriage or the sacred institution of family life. There should be some bonding. There should be some natural development in that. But it gets back to your opening in terms of your topic, in terms of looking at time. Obviously, if you have celebrity status, it doesn't exempt you from putting in the time. Time is the most precious and valuable commodity that we have that's non-refundable. You know, you mentioned Jada, Will Smith. I think his son has been seen on Facebook, other places, and social media. obviously here is a son that's really confused in terms of even maybe gender, in terms of wearing female armets and all of this. You know, this is a tip of the iceberg in terms of that. You know, as a word talented, one of the things I've done over the years was coined a word called influence. Influence. You know, when you were speaking about the day that children can actually follow suit and sue their parents for negligence or whatever, because I learned years ago from prepaid legal that you can sue anybody anytime for anything. Now the question becomes whether or not that will hold up in court, and there would be some type of compensation coming for that. But it doesn't abrogate those parents that have fame and fortune. They still owe the same thing to their children as those persons that we say just everyday citizens in this country. And that is the investment of time. You know very well that when you invest, and people have invested money into things, and they're looking for a good refund. Well, you know, when you do it with children, you're looking for a good return as opposed to refund, a good return. But if you don't invest the most precious commodity that's non-refundable, then you shouldn't be surprised what it is you might get. You know, because they'll invest time, or somebody else may invest time that may not have the best interest at heart. You know, so I think that, you know, when we look at that from an Islamic perspective, it becomes a role and a responsibility that we owe to our children. You know, I know you heard when you and I was coming up, you used to hear that the child didn't ask to be brought here. So the child in Islam has rights. The orphans have rights. Children have rights. Everybody have rights, but children, they have rights. And so they have the right to be given the time that's needed for them in the nurturing and cultivating their growth and development. And what you were speaking about in America today, it has become a microwave. A microwave environment, like he was speaking in terms of the gas station. Everybody, well, I won't say everybody, because generality is never the reality, but there are too many people, I think I'll be safe in saying it like this, there are too many people who want things quick, fast, and in a hurry, you see?
Yes.
So if, in fact, that as parents, if we look at, we have to invest in our children, our most precious commodity, and we all get the same amount. Nobody gets more, nobody gets less. But those things, like my grandmother used to always say, Pasha, said, for anything that's important, you have to find the time or make the time.
Mm-hmm.
It has to happen one or the other. You know, it was a movie years ago. I can't remember who starred in it, but the theme of it was that they was wealthy. They never had the time to spend with their child, and all they did just send them gifts and spend money on them, and they had other people to take them here and there in their absence and everything, and when they did return home for a few days to be with them, and they saw resentment in the child, resentment, not return that you look for investing time, but the resentment. They said, well, you know, we love you. We give you everything that you want, or we think that you want, or what? And the child simply says, no, but you don't give me your time. And that's what that I want. And that's what a lot of children are starving for. They're starving for that because they want the attention. And we know that when we talk about natural development, naturally attention has to be given in growth and development. But if it's not given, now the child do whatever it takes to get attention, and oftentimes that leads them to the wrong path.
Absolutely.
I could say more, but I think I said enough, put my little 2 cent worth in there. But if we see how our children are going down the wrong path, then ask ourselves, how much of an investment is this for us to ask ourselves individually, as a family, as a community? How much time are we investing in our children? Then that second letter in the word influence, which represents natural role model. Who is supposed to be the natural role model in nurturing and cultivating our children in terms of what they should be looking at as a natural role model to grow up? How many of our children are asking themselves, I want to be just like my father. I want to be just like my mother. They're just rhetorical questions. I'll stop there. As always, I'm enjoying Alex Lund-based conversation. Thank you so much. Give me that opportunity.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Yeah, you know, that's the kind of feedback, you know, that I'm looking for. I mean, you know you're being heard. You know that people are as concerned as you are about this topic, that it needs to be spoken. Huh? You know, I'm not saying every day, and you know, because once you start preaching to people, you lose them. You know, you're not doing this, you need to do this, yourself is going to hell. Well, no, nobody wants to hear it like that. You know, and Allah shows us, or the Creator shows us, the best way to do things when it's going to upset or be bothersome or painful, or it's going to make it look like people have dropped the ball, or they need to go back and try to make good on what they haven't been making good. No, it's not so terrible as it is. People aren't paying attention to it, and they're acting like it's not a force that we need to reckon with. Like the brother said, family life is almost non-existent. See, I'm talking about the last part, the last word, life. See, people aren't living like families are supposed to live. They aren't close. Some people can't wait to get out their house and get out on their own because they didn't enjoy their family. I have 5 sons. They had their own friends. They didn't befriend each other. They befriended other people. And to this day, they don't get along like they should get along. The only thing that they have in common that they can talk about is their mother. The rest of it is not necessarily existing. They don't partner up, let's go to get together, let's do a family reunion, but they weren't raised like that. They were raised to be close. But where I failed and I dropped the ball was I didn't know how to intervene and make them close, because you need a school to really do that. I learned very early on, and I say this, I said this to them, and I say it to you. As the technology began to grow and play a greater role in the rearing process, you saw influences, like the brother was saying, being not as great as they used to be. People enjoyed being around their parents and their siblings, and we did things together. But as the technology began to grow, all these games and Pac-Man and all that kind of stuff, and Angry Birds and whatever else they got out there, but what it does, it minimizes the time that you spend together with another human being, because you're spending most of your time, most of your thoughts are on the game. And they got some games now. You put that thing over your head and face, it takes you to a whole nother reality. It almost makes you believe that reality is greater than the reality that's on the outside. is very, to me, dangerous. Because just like anything else, the more you do it, the more you want to do it. And what happens is that because it's in your diet so much, it's your appetite is what you have for it. And you don't try to be logical about it. You don't say, hey, this is a waste of time, you know, all this time. Every day, man, you're 5 hours in this game. You surely got better things to do, right? Hopefully you do. Just trying to get to the highest grade level or highest thing that they have to offer, the I don't know what the, because I didn't even get into it, but get to this certain level, and you spend hours and hours and hours of your time, and finally you accomplish it. And all you can say is, I wasted my time. You don't even, people don't say that because they don't want to realize that that's what they did. They made an investment in 10 time, with their time, like the brother was saying, and once you use it, you lose it. You can't get it back. And you can't, it's not like waste, you can't recycle time. When you don't get to bed on time and you're suffering from sleep deprivation, you can't get that back. Your body will just say, okay, I stayed up a little longer than I should, so I'm going to sleep a little longer than I did. You ain't going to feel like you got relief. Your body's not going to say, oh, great, no problem. Your body's going to say, no, partner, that was an abuse. That wasn't a good use of your time. I'm not going to let you get in the habit of thinking you can do that and then sleep longer or sleep later. It don't work like that. It's just like our age. Once you turn 15, you will never see 15 again unless you turn 115. What is that? That is life. Just like the time cycle. How long does it take to become 21 years of age? 21 years. Big, big sign. Because it just, well, what's, now what? It ain't no benefit. No, that's told us something about life. It moves along, but it moves along at a pace that's one step, one day, one week, one month, one year. It moves along at that pace. And we are introduced to Father Time at some point in time. As we get older, we get to understand Father Time is a just entity. And there's consequences for wasting your time. There's consequences for being out of touch with reality. Because we play games so much, we never get in touch with reality as it really is. We don't have what we used to call a reality check. Check in with reality and see, like the brother was saying, how natural and normal are you? What thoughts come to your mind more frequently than they should come? As the brother was saying, how deeply are you confused about your gender when you were sent here as a male or sent here as a female, and now all of a sudden being here is too uncomfortable and you want to switch? You want to change your gender and say that that's what the problem is. And you want the support of the society to say you can do that and support you as you do that. And be happy that the numbers are increasing for people who want to do that. Not only are the numbers increasing, the different number of names that people want to introduce as a language, almost like we did with Ebonics. They were contemplating passing a law to allow us to speak Ebonics in the classroom because they said that's what they want to do. That's the way they can learn. We'll let them do it. If we don't, they won't get it. And so I remember Imam Muhammad saying this speech on Talim or Khutbah or whatever. And this is what he had to say about Ebonics. Now, I'm not verbatim. I'm not even, it was a long time ago. But let me say the general gist of the conversation. he made reference to a particular word that I hadn't heard in a long time. But in his time frame, in his growing up, 1930s, it was quite frequent because we didn't talk English. We spoke broken English. And we made up words as we went along. Flitchy flotchy. Thingamabob. Whatchamacallit. And we tried a little pig Latin. Ashabell, Goshabell, Woshabell, Tushabell, Mishabell, all the bells. And then we had a song on the name gang. I forgot the name of the lady. You know. And, but it was popular, you know. Very popular. I forget the name of the person. I remember it was a female name, but it was very popular, and a lot of people got into it and whatnot. But it was all had everything to do with us as a people and our identity crisis. But that was our solution. We believed that things would get better. We would be better. We were just allowed to just say ain't. And when this particular thing that he was talking about, to get off course from that, he said, I ain't studying you. He said he hadn't heard that in years. He said, and they're getting ready to introduce that level of communication into an educational school setting. It's like taking insurmountable, unintelligent steps backwards and say in a logical mind that you are actually benefiting from going all the way back. It wasn't beneficial in the beginning. You're going to go back and dig up some stuff that is even worse than what they were doing in the schools and say, this is what we want to get, this is how we want to get educated. We want people to talk to us, you know, a certain way so we can know what they're saying, sort of proper English and speaking with proper enunciation. And we see Allah's mercy, God's mercy, that he didn't allow it to come about. We were already in bad shape. We would have been in worse shape if we'd have bought into that and allowed our school systems to be inundated with Ebonics. Now, this history, it didn't happen. But we should remember there was a time when it was very popular and it was getting ready to happen. And so, once again, when we dodge a bullet, we can't take full credit. But what we should do is look at it and see for it for what it was and make sure that we don't make those kind of mistakes in the future that stifle the growth, that leave us in a position to where we do have to go back to some things to go forward. That's just a natural phenomenon. You see it in track and field. People run, and then they jump. You know, momentum is gained by stepping back and then going forward. Even in, you go back in time and look at things and see the benefit or see the problem. One of the things that we're going to mention here in a minute when we turn to scripture, the past needs to be looked at in order to have a healthy future. But you can rob yourself of your future by staying too locked in the past. It stifles the growth because you still want to do the other stuff because it was popular and it was a turn on. There was a song, Ramsey Lewis, I Want to Be in the In Crowd. No thought about the In Crowd and what they were doing. We were simply counting. The numbers is there. It's popular there. Seems like fun is going on there. So I want to be in the in crowd. I'm not giving any thought. I'm not giving the thought to the logic. I'm not giving reason to it. I'm simply wanting to be popular with these people. I think what they're doing is cool, and I want to be cool. And that was the song that we were having sing to ourselves, and people were actually joining these things. Instead of, and Brother Mark, we have two different versions of this thing. He's getting back on in a minute. I remember Muhammad Ali saying, don't count the days, but do what counts in the days. Or do what counts. Okay, stop counting and start counting doing what counts. There's never two or three different, same gist and whatever, but that's what we weren't doing. We were counting the numbers. We were counting the popularity. We were counting how trendy it was. We were counting how cool it was to have somebody playing that record or I Want to Be with the in crowd. Naturally talented individual, very popular because of that. Very musical genius, really. But the message, the lyrics, detrimental. Because what happens, I'll conclude with this and I'm going to get 3-1-4 back on. We have devilish society that will establish a Pied Piper to start us going through what breakdancing or wearing a cap backward or swag and pants dropping the old so your underwear can show. All of that was somebody was designated as the Pied Piper introducing it to the rest of the world on Twitter, Facebook, or wherever they did it. And then next thing you know, 3 or 4 years later, it's blowing up. But it had to have a Pied Piper. I won't say it had to have, but like the brother was saying, you have role models that helped introduce this and put it on us and put it on not just us as a people. Goma Powell, that was all about the Beverly Hillbillies. That was all about glamorizing Huckabuck stuff, glamorizing stuff that over time will be detrimental to the people because you don't glamorize marginalized thinking and marginalized behavior and put it out there and pay people way above and beyond the cause to get them to get on TV and do something stupid and call it a good program and have it on there like The Simpsons have been on for I don't know how long. That's not a society that has our best interests at heart. To have us spending as much time watching stuff like that that's not going to increase the growth, it's going to stunt your growth. So we're going to go back to 314. So I'm going
to let go. Yeah, well, like Mr. Saddam, Imam Pasha, Mark Shaheed again. I was really intrigued by what you were saying in terms of going back and in the past and how the past can actually affect your present. There's an old saying that if you're always digging up the past, that you will bury your present and your future too. If you're always digging up the past, you're going to bury your present. And I'm not saying in terms of present in terms of time, but also present in terms of even the gift that God has given to all of us and your future, too. It just become a reflection of your past. And it was the legendary boxing champion, Muhammad Ali, when he used to tour the country, if they wouldn't issue him a boxing license, he would lecture in universities and colleges. And one of the things that he said that was very profound, but I think some that your mother and some people in my family had said, is basically saying the same thing. He said, don't count the day, but make every day count. You know, so however long time that you actually have, it could be long, it could be short,
mm-hmm.
but make that day count. Make it the most important day in your life. You know that. You know when you talk about sunrise, beginning of a person's life, and then sunset, the end of a person's life. The most important thing there is that dash. What did you do with the time that you had? that God gives to us. And I think this has to be really, has to be emphasized to our children, our young people, where you don't, life is time, and time is actually life, that you don't waste, that you don't waste your time. You know, I was also kind of smiling about you going back to some of those old artists like Ramsey Lewis. So I'm in with the in crowd. I go where the in crowd goes and all of that. But you can get that good music and make you stand up on your feet, pat your feet or stand up on your feet and dance into the beat. But as you say, the lyrics, we generally don't pay attention to. And but they're actually going inside of us through the subconscious mind. And but it's sending a bad message. It's not sending a good message. And even in our time, we had songs, not to the degree to today that our children, the type of garbage they're really listening to, but it's going into their mind subconsciously, and they are behaving poorly. There was another song by the famous Isley Brothers that was in the early 70s, and it caused a lot of people to get up and dance, but it was a bad message, and it was, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. I can't tell you who to sock it to. Now, that was the beginning of the song, but at the end of the song, it was so influential that it went off saying, it's my thing. I do what I want to do. It's my thing. I do what I want to do. So that message came, you know, I do what I want to do. It's not like I want to do the right thing. But I do what I want to do. It's different, though, that we have the freedom to do what anything. You know, but if we are not being taught in the home environment that with freedom comes responsibility. You know, Imam Muhammad actually said that freedom and responsibility are akin to each other. In other words, there's a relationship. So we know our children, as they grow up, they want to have more freedom. They feel like I'm entitled to freedom. But what we have to do as parents in terms of saying to them, everything that you get in life, you have to work for, you have to earn it. You have to earn it. See, this is what they have to learn. You know, in the word learn is earn. So you earn this when you learn what freedom is. And you as a parent have to define what freedom is. It's associated, it's related, it's akin to responsibility. And you can see that early on. How much freedom do you give a baby? How much freedom do you give a toddler? How much freedom do you give someone that have shown you that they're irresponsible? You know, on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that airs here on IWDM Radio, we teach that. We teach what correct parenting is from an Islamic base, from an Islamic foundation. And we're not saying here on Al-Islam Based Conversation that those may be listening now or later that you have to be a Muslim, but you most certainly as a parent have to teach your children that whatever it is that they do in life, there is going to be consequences. And so you have to start to ministering that in the life, the first sacred institution, which is family life, that there's going to be consequences. And so it gets right back to how we have to invest that time, how we have to be the natural role model. But in that that third letter in influence is faith. I mean, we have to have faith in what God's word is to us, a message is to us in his communication. And we have to have faith in our young people, what Allah has given to us, what God has given to us. and deposit into them, and we have to be the ones to help nurture and cultivate that. And we have to listen, and we have to listen to our children, because we don't know how we can best help them without listening to them. You know, in this society, you know, when we was growing up, probably many of our parents was guilty of, I need you to listen, shut up and listen. Everybody would tell you to shut up and listen. But we, if we are still operating with that when we communicate with our children, we're doing our children a great disservice. Whereas that it makes a big divisiveness between us and our children, because they won't listen to us, so consequently they'll go elsewhere. And somebody will listen to them, and oftentimes this leads them out into the streets in terms of those persons that has been socialized, acculturated like them. They come from the same social background. Their parents was absent. They didn't invest right. any time in them, and they didn't have a mama, and they didn't have faith in them, and they wouldn't listen to them. So, yeah, we got something in common. Yeah, let's get together. So the
right.
so the gang becomes the family life, or seeking what the family life didn't give to them. I just wanted to say that, but the impact and influence of music have always been a factor in the culture and what our children actually are listening to. This is why we have to get involved. We have to encourage, or it's music in terms from an Islamic base. I mean, there's nothing wrong with rap, but can we deliver positive messages from our children that want to do rap? You know, so this is where we come into play in terms of helping in navigating and directing our children in that way. If we don't do that, they don't stand a chance. They're not exempt from the pitfalls in society. I'll stop there. I think I said enough in regards to that, but you're right on point in terms of looking at how music has been a factor in the social dynamic, and we can see it now, whereas it showed where it caused the behavior to be very disrespectful. I don't know, you know, like what you experienced today at the gas station. But if we don't bet, but if I was a betting man, I bet you almost anything, from a dime to a donut. I've experienced it just being in the line and the cashier not moving fast enough and everything, and somebody hollering right behind me, "Hey, OG, can you step it up?" Or, you know, like that or what. But
yeah.
Generally speaking, that's generally our young generation. You understand, that have not learned respect in the house. They have not gotten those principles and values, you understand, that we was raised up with, and the patience and regard for elderly people. So I just want to say that, Pasha, this is a good Al-Islam-based conversation. I'm enjoying it immensely. Assalamu alaikum.
If you could just hold just a minute here, I got two observations I wanted to kind of, not necessarily start the conversation again, but I think you can relate to them and probably give more, just a little bit more input. But mainly, one of the main reasons, I can remember the song, but I can't remember the artist. But I know it was a hit, and I know why it was a hit. But what they didn't talk about and what they haven't yet to talk about, it, maybe they are now, maybe whatever, but it was a real blow to family life. And the record was Me and Mrs. Jones Got a Thing Going On. You know, same place,
and
same
know,
time.
That slave name, our family slave name was Jones. So ironic. Yeah, that was by
right.
The artist of that. He was a one, I would call him a one hit wonder, if you will, if you call that a hit. But it was a hit. And it did make the top 10 charts at that time, and that was none other than Billy Paul.
Yes. Yeah, to me, that's when he had two first names, yeah, Billy Paul. Yeah.
That was, that's what. Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if that was his real name, but you know, a lot of them,
right.
you know, they'll change their names, the stage names. But it was Billy Paul that said, "Me
yeah.
and Mrs. Jones got there." And when you listen to the music, oh, it was nice background music, but all
oh,
the
yeah.
lyrics, all the lyrics,
yeah.
all the words was just, you know, it wasn't. Something of stability, reliability, and sustaining and maintaining the sacred institution, even a marriage, you know, because of what it was that he was saying. So if a person
right.
didn't have guidance or direction in their life and they listened to that song and it got into their
right.
head, coming through the basement, the subconscious mind, now, you understand, they want to do... Like Billy Paul said, you know.
Right. And that was excuse me, just a minute. That was the point that I was want to make with that, you know, with you on the phone, is that it was right around the time that the women's liberation was coming about, and all they did
yeah.
was fuel the fact that if men can do it, women can do it too.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and so,
yeah, and that
it,
was
it,
yeah.
It,
and,
as you
and,
study
you know,
and get deeper with it, you can see the harm that it did and why it did so much harm. Even though, like you said before, great lyrics, I mean, great melody and everything about it. I'm sure he so. I think I bought one of the records because I saw it as a cruel joke, really.
Mm-hmm.
It was a cruel joke because I know so many men who were stepping out on their wives, and now this man is telling them, hey, partner, you better watch your back. You know,
mm-hmm.
you out there doing this, and I got your lady over at the restaurant, you know, and
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing, we have to realize why we have faltered in our efforts to bring about community life and, like we used to say,
mm-hmm.
put the neighbor back in the hood.
Yeah, and what about the clean-up woman?
Yeah.
The clean-up woman did more than just clean it up.
Right, yeah. It was beginning to change. Our message from Rhythm and Blues where you had people talking about bring the boys home and all that, do right woman for do right man, that was slowly gotten a little more funkier and a little more, I guess you can say, a little more verbal, a little more cursing, you know, things were, you know, whatever. You
yeah.
know. So
what
I
about,
think you can look back
what
and see
about the song, If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was Luther Ingram. Yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think it was.
But
Luther.
One last thing
if
I want to
Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right.
Even
in other words,
than was.
It started attacking the morality that
yes,
once
that's,
was
absolutely.
A part of the social dynamic for most people, and especially for African Americans. It began to tear
right.
down the moral fiber
absolutely.
For African Americans. Loving you is wrong. I don't want to be right. So this opens the door. I can love anybody I want to love, even if it is the
right.
wrong to do. I know we can't do it the right way. But even if it's the wrong way, I don't want to be right. You see,
right.
so
yeah.
so you know, and this to me was, Pasha, I think was pretty audacious. You know,
oh, yeah,
the
it
way
was.
It's,
yeah.
you know, because even when you're saying, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. So I can be wrong, and I don't have any conscious of that. This
right.
is like. Painting a bigger picture by the evil influence in terms of, first of all, making that prevalent in your thinking, your mental attitude and disposition. And then only thing is left is just acting it out. So.
Right, right. But I wanted to briefly show, because this is a really a answer for people who are asking the question. You ask it very, very clearly that people are asking the question, you know, shut up and listen to me, you know. And Imam Muhammad solved this problem by saying, speak to the ear that listens. The child has
yeah,
an
that
interest.
That was Prophet Muhammad. Yes, sir. Yes,
yeah.
sir. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, it's a Sahih Hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, that the prayers and peace be upon him, speak to the ear that's alive. Speak to the ear that's alive, meaning speak to the ear that's listening. Now, we don't always know who's listening. But if it is shown by the person that you're speaking to, I don't want to hear that, or go back to a few years back. You remember when they used to say, speak to the hand, speak to the hand.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, in the five styles of listening, one of them of styles of listening is ignoring. Ignoring is one of the most disrespectful forms of listening, because it's actually saying, I'm not listening to you, nor do I want to hear you. So, you know, listening is the art of perceiving all that's being communicated, but hearing, you know, it's a little bit different, because as long as nothing wrong with your ears, you're going to hear. I don't even want to, in other words, they're saying, I don't even want to hear your voice.
Right. Yeah.
Speak to the hand, and we know the hand, it wasn't made to listen. The hand was for actions and deeds.
Yeah.
But this was a disrespectful way when at that time when they used to say it. And it's not a gender thing, but it seemed like you heard more women saying that more so than men, in terms of speak to the hand. Speak to the hand, because I ain't trying, I'm not listening to you, and I don't want to hear you. Now, when we talk about in terms of like relationships, in terms of wanting to listen to each other, but I don't want to hear what you, I'm not listening to what you're saying. So I'm not. So that means I'm not trying to understand what you're saying, and I don't even want to hear your voice. It's even worse than that. So we have too much of that going on today. And then when we look at our children and family, when they grow up, and if we're not with our children, once again, going back to investing time in them, taking time with them, to invest time with them, and if we're not listening to them, it's going to come a time, and it ain't going to be long. It won't be long.
Right.
They won't be listening to us.
Staying with this theme just a little bit, and then we can move on, because it's almost time to conclude anyway. But I remember very succinctly when my children, you know, kind of got the ability to go out on their own and, you know, make friends, like I said earlier. And they loved to go over to these people's houses. They were from the island. I don't know whether they were Puerto Ricans or whatever it was. But they told me one day, you know, because I was telling them this, that, and that. They're trying to get my rules and regulations up established. And no matter what they're doing over there, this is what we do over here. Oh, Dad, we learn to go over to his house. He lets his children do stuff. And so I tried to explain, but here's what I ran into. The understanding was that by that time, almost everything that they were listening to had a soundtrack. So I wasn't allowed to be interesting enough conversation because I didn't have a soundtrack. So after a while, they get bored, or you're too serious. Lighten up, Dad. You know what I mean? And all I'm saying is that there was an instrument that was dividing the family, because what they called boredom was instructions that may save your life back in the day. Don't do this. Like my grandmother would say, there's two people who die fast, men who chase women and dogs who chase cars. That logic you didn't even get to hear stuff like that when we were growing up. It wasn't cool. I couldn't pop my fingers to it. I don't want to hear it. You know? And that's one of the things that I'm thinking that we can look back on and see. It happened then. It's happening today. People are tuning us out because the tune that we're playing is a serious information about life and how serious it is and how structured it is. Life is very structured.
We just recently had a topic on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and it's out of a very resourceful book called Parenting Skills, based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. And there were different illustrations for various ages. And so when you... There was a, illustration in terms of how you illustrate consequences in a very vivid way. Vivid mm-hmm. being a very clear, distinct way so that our children really get the message. So the first thing would be that you would sit down, you would try to have conversation and communication, you know, disseminate information to them. And it'd be an exchange, okay? So that's the first thing that you would do. But it said that if, and I agree with it, if, in fact, that the behavior continues, then the way you illustrate consequences is to take your children on field trips. And I have a brother that's younger than myself, Anthony Shaheed, who is a community activist. And what we do would take those young people that would be doing things that ultimately that would lead them into the penal institution, would take them on a field trip to see those persons that was that would disrespect rules and regulations that are set down in the family life, the home life, the first social environment, which is family life, that wouldn't do their homework, schoolwork, didn't take an interest in that, and would take them and let them see what happened. I mean, the vivid thing in terms of where these type of people actually end up. I mean, you know, this is one way of actually really teaching, and sometimes you have that type of situation and circumstance with your children when you're trying to really communicate with them and get points over to them where they think, like you might say, your children said, oh, Dad, you know, you're just so serious, you need to lighten up a little bit. You're so serious, and life is should be fun and everything. And you have to do what Imam Muhammad has said. He said that in definition is direction, and since that time I've added also correction in that. So we have to find out first from them, what do you call fun? Let them define what they call fun, you know, in that regard. Because actually, fun is supposed to be linked or akin to actually learning. Just think about our children. Think about even ourselves, if we can go back that far, our first day of school, or how excited we were to go to kindergarten or the first grade, and you know, and whatever we did. It was fun in terms of actually. Allah has actually put that in the very nature of children to want to know, because they know they don't know, you know, but they want to know. And as they learn, there's a certain amount of enthusiasm that comes with that and achievement. Now, what it is for the parent to do is to sustain and maintain that interest in terms of learning, and make learning fun. But then it goes back to the first letter in influence, which is investing, an investment. So we can take our children to different places where it can be fun, but it can also be educational at the same time. And the more we involve with them, it can and will make a difference. Now, of course, we didn't have no manual, you know, Pasha. We didn't have a manual when we were raising our children. And obviously, our parents didn't either. And depending on the size of the family, it became just the three basic things, food, clothing, and shelter.
Right.
And after that, it wasn't much anything else,
right,
because if there's only one and a half or 2 years difference between the next sibling, you know, the attention was given to whoever the baby was. You know?
Right.
So that,
right.
That's the way it was. So when we look at this here, and when we look at al-Islam-based conversation, it's not always the children's fault. Matter of fact, most cases, it can be linked to the socialization alteration that our children are actually in, that affects them. And the prophet has said that Imam Muhammad said, every child is born a true human. But it is the parents and parenting, and it is the environment. What environment? Social environment that makes them otherwise. So if we're going to change things, we're going to have to change the parenting technique. What used to work yesterday can and won't work today. And then we also got to change the environment, the social environment. And the first social environment after that baby is born into the family life. That's the next womb that they're in. So, and then
right.
they leave. We got to change that on the outside.
Right.
It's a big job. It's a big responsibility.
It,
it has been done before, and it can be done again. We have to be conscious.
Oh, absolutely.
To make
absolutely. That. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's why this subject is going on and on. I mean, because it's a big subject. It's a subject that I think we've sort of been neglecting. We've been sticking the head in the ground and hoping it'll go away, you know. But I know there's a lot of parents and families today, and they're not Muslims, you know, or maybe they are Muslims too. They want to buy and give their children, like you talked about earlier, all these good things, and they'll get loved, and the child will stop crying and stop complaining, and will love them because he gave them all those good things, and nothing could be further from the truth because.
Do you remember
Allah
that song?
Made the nature
came,
to not respond
remember
to
that song? Money
like
came by me love. Money came by
right,
me
exactly.
love.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah, you know, and I just know that I can two words get used a lot and misunderstood as to what they really mean in the way God wanted them to mean. And that one is love, and the other one is play. We learn by play, but if we want to be playful after we've matured, then we stunted our growth because we want everything to be play, games, and fun, you know. But you select people, you know people's, when you're doing your team or when you're doing whatever, you know the personality of people, you know who to put on your team, who not to put on your team. And if people kept making you the captain of the team, then you know you were a leader, had leadership skills and everything. So that was play was initially, we played blocks when we got introduced to the ABCs. So it's there. Playing is an introductory mechanism, and we can't get away from it. What we don't want to do is make things too playful, playing for just for the sake of playing.
But you know, one of the things I think that we have to look at, and we know that in the first 7 years of a child's life, 0 to 7, they are in the world of fantasy, and the job is to bring them from fantasy into reality, and it's a lot of play there. But one of the things in terms of play, this is an opportunity for parents to set parameters in terms of there's rules and regulations, you know, play, just take even a ball. We have sometimes teach our children, you can have more fun playing ball, even if they just roll it. They, at toddler's age, they roll it back and forth to each other and then say, no, my ball. Okay, so when you get down on the floor with them, you roll it to them, and then they see how you do that, and they roll it back, and they be smiling, and they having fun. So when their cousin Hassan come on over, then he's claiming my ball. Yes, it's your ball, but you're going to have more fun if you do and play with your cousin Hassan like I play with you. Now, that seems very simplistic, but you actually are giving children, putting in children's mind, this is play now, but later on it's going to be work. And you have to learn, even in play, there's rules and regulations. You can't just keep the ball or hold the ball and then other games in terms of that. But this is how you have to eventually be able to work, get along with other people too. So
right.
It's an opportunity to really teach, even in the world of play, at that time, ultimately, what they're going to have to do later on in life, which is work people. And so you
right.
don't want them to be antisocial. I don't want to play. This is a part of the natural development. you know, that Allah has put in our children. So therefore, we have to get down on their level. I remember my son saying to me, he said, "Dad, you got to," he said, "you got to go where they are, because they're not able to come where you are." And if we remember that, we have to go where they are. They put a lot of the games on the floor and stuff. I don't know if they still play the games we did, like shooting marbles and playing jacks. I don't know if they even. I don't know. That might be too square today.
It
might
be some homeschoolers that do that, but.
Oh, really? I didn't know, but I know we did stuff like that, and we enjoyed it, you know, pitching pennies and things of that nature. I don't know actually what they do today. Pretty much
life was more simpler. People could really, they would probably get a little bored. I mean, they've upped the ante a little bit with all this technology. You know, they got things that go on that is just surreal, you know, with the, what they call special effects and things. And they push the buttons on people, man. They really. I mean, I kind of look at it, but I said that's dangerous. That's really. I mean, they're talking about it now. They're saying people are not in touch with reality, and so mental health is really on the rise.
And they show a lot of those things, just what you said, in terms of the insensitivity, inconsideration in destroying cars and killing people, shooting people, killing people. I think it starts with Pac-Man, and then it has just regressed to a point where, as they have these games where you're taking people out. The more you can take out, you become victorious. This is sending a bad message. And so we have to even censor those type of things that our children are involved with, because they are very vulnerable when they're young. That's why Allah refers to the human being as clay. Two types of clay. The soft, malleable clay is very impressionable, very impressionable. So these games will send the wrong idea, the wrong concepts, the wrong precepts or perceptions to our children, especially if they are designed to show how you become victorious by taking lives and stuff, and illustrating guns and all of this, you know, that we see today. And it starts there. It starts there, Pasha. We might not think that, but we wonder and say, what are we going to do? Well, you need to start in the first social unit, which is the family life.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, it's like I say, it's an ongoing subject. And, you know, I just wanted to kind of hit those points, because I think that when we come back, and we talk about scripture involving that surah that talks about the token of time and the role that it plays and how we have to value it. I mean, I think he used token for a reason. You know, a token has like currency and money, and it has it should have value. And I'm saying that to say that it doesn't have as much value as it should, especially in today's time. People are more willing to be entertained rather than being educated. If it gets too educated and it gets a little boring and teaching, or even people get on the defensive that you're talking like, "I don't know." Yeah, well, it's not that you don't know. And if you do know, you'll recognize that I'm talking that way because I'm talking to somebody who's knowledgeable, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it was a Muslim couple. I can't remember their name now, but they have a program called, I think it's Intercation. It is actually combining, you know, what you're saying. My children want more in terms of entertainment than education. I think that there can be a middle course that's there. And I think as they grow older, the conversation in many of our messages in Islamic centers, I'm thinking in other religious institutions too, because children are children, you have to give them an opportunity for expression.
Right.
Cultural expression. And if we open the door for that, it's got to be some monitoring there. Of course, you can't just let them say or do anything. But I think that the opportunity to have cultural expression in a decent moral way would go a long way for keeping our children with us. as opposed to them saying, well, why do I need to go here? Why do I need to go there? I don't do anything. Right. It's dead. It's dull, you know, in that regard. And so when they get of age, have them be included in terms of them having their own committee and making some decisions,
I'll raise this up, and then we'll probably need to get out of here. I remember when we were going strong with the propagators and Wilmore Siddiqui and all those people. I thought that was very beneficial to my children to be able to get entertained. And then they had the last poets. The spoken word was really out there instead of rap and using too much profanity and just get down, tear down, you know, speak down to people. We were on a good start, and I think a lot of those artists, they're not in existence, but Native Dean and all those people, they should be acknowledged as we did it before. We should do it again.
Well, Imam Siddiqui is still performing. I know he had been a little under the weather, and we play quite a bit of his music on my productions here on IWDM Radio, and they're excellent. You're absolutely right. You know, made some outstanding songs for actually our young people. Who put the corn in the cornflake? Allah did.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
Yes, you know, and Allah loves me. And these are the type of songs that, you know, our children can, you know, Sesame Street wasn't too bad, but we can actually do some of those things. You remember, I guess, when we was young, it was Captain Kangaroo and all of these things and all. But we can actually do some of these things ourselves. We know what captures young people's attention, but it has a positive message. And believe it or not, we shouldn't underestimate our children because they have that keen ability to really, really learn and pick up on things. That's when they're most open for learning. And we can make it, as we make it fun then, we continuously make it fun. And all, and we have a big role and responsibility there, and we can have a powerful influence on our children if we just understand what influences them, what impacts them. If we don't invest in them, and we are not the role model that they should be, we don't have faith in the Creator, but have faith in what God has created. If we don't listen to them, we don't try to understand them, we don't try to encourage them, we don't try to help in terms of navigating their life. We don't have a care about them, a concern about them, you know, and we don't have enthusiasm over what it is that they achieve. I just gave 9 letters. I didn't give any insight in terms of that word influence, but we won't have influence over them if we don't do it.
Well, you know, Allah's in charge, and I think that we can end on a good note and with the fact that we are hopefully beginning to realize that our future is in our hands by investing in our children and finding ways. You know, once you start looking for answers, Allah says this thing is connected, and it leads you to what you need to do Islamically and naturally for your children and create entertainment that will do that. And I think Allah will bless us more if we look a little harder and a little deeper. And really, you know, for people interested, get together with the people interested in doing that. And I have a good friend in Atlanta now. I mean, he is a master of the drums. And when I was in Oakland, there was a gentleman there that he made it mandatory that he volunteered for the school to say, it's not a course over there, but I'll teach your children after school drumming and playing the congas and playing the kungas and all that stuff. And they loved him and came back and said, we would have gotten in a lot more trouble if we didn't have an after-school musical program that you started.
And I rest my case. You see, just in terms of playing the drums, the conga, and all of these type of things, this is fun. And also, what that does, it cultivates, stimulates, and it activates the real NBA. Not talking about the National Basketball Association. It can cultivate, stimulate, and activate natural born ability that Allah has put in our children, and they may be the next, you know, outstanding drum player. And it started just with the introduction of playing the drum, having fun, and then you realize, whoa, this is natural. This is a natural ability here. And then it's elevated. And then you find out that this person becomes well-known worldwide. It began just because somebody took an interest, that child, and introduced them playing drums, and they loved it, made an excellent career out of it, took care of themselves well, the family, and maybe community-wise. And so these are the type of things that we have to start beginning to do for that expression, self-expression of our young people.
Right. Alhamdulillah, inshallah. Well, Mark, I spent a very good, hopefully productive couple of hours here, and like I said before, in sincerity to the subject matter, I think Allah knows best. I think it kind of got more off of time, and really we still are talking about time, how we spend our time.
Well, we did talk. We actually did talk about time. Really, when you think about it, we really talk about time in terms of how time should really be. We need to realize, in words of N and I-Z-E, you know, as a wordologist, we should see I-Z-E as eyes, the utility, the eyes of utility, and to realize, to have eyes of the reality of what time really is and how much of a gift. Yeah, it says token, but I like gift. And so this is a gift that Allah gives to us, and then he extends his mercy to us, because we don't know how much time we actually have. That's why was it Benjamin Mays? I think it was Benjamin Mays who was a teacher, a scholar, a teacher there in Morehouse College, I believe. He had a little poem I used to say to my grandchildren, I can't remember it now, almost like brain freeze, but he said, I only have a minute. It's called The Importance of the Minute. I only have a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, couldn't refuse it. I didn't seek it, didn't choose it. But it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it. Just a tiny little minute, 60 seconds in it, and it's an eternity in it. So it's actually epitomizing, it's magnifying the importance of time. It reduces it down to 1 minute. In 1 minute of the time in your life, without guidance and direction in your life, it could put you behind bars for life, or it could put you in the cemetery prematurely. So we have to emphasize to our children that time is a gift that the Creator gives to us. The question becomes, what are we going to do with the time that we have? So it gets back to make every day count, but don't count every day, but make every day count. So when we leave here, then there'll be somebody that say, you know what? Pasha made his time worthwhile. Jaheed made his time worthwhile. He did something. And try to uncover and discover what it is, why you are here, your purpose for being. That's a good topic.
Right.
No, our purpose for being. I stopped there. Thank you. I enjoyed it, Imam Pasha, conversating with you on Islam-based conversation.
And thank you. We appreciate it. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
So let's... let me get together here and close this out and say thank you for sharing your time. We need to talk about these things. We need to know that they're important to us, as well as the stuff that we do spend time on, especially we do enjoy, and the joy that it brings. Having a bright future, because you see on down the line there that these people, not these people, but our family members and children and are interested in what we're trying to do, and they realize in the long run that it's more about freedom, justice, and equality than we can even imagine. And once we get that attained and maintained and sustained, we're going to live the life that we want to live and capable of living and bring some joy to not only our life but other people's lives. That's one thing. When you sharing is caring, and when you really want to care because you think you have something to share, you'll do more and you'll get more for doing it. So we thank you for your time. We thank you for listening tonight. Hopefully something was heard that will benefit you, will strike a chord in you, or make you want to go and in the name of Allah, do more. In the name of God, do more. In the name of the Creator, do more to let the people know your presence and feel the impact of your presence, you know, in their life, because you made a commitment to serve the greater presence, the greater significance, and the greater joy that comes when you serve our Creator and put to work the tools that we were sent here to use that He gave us. Then we can get the blessings and get that real feeling that people are trying to get today. People are so lost, they don't know who to turn to or what to turn to, end up turning to alcohol or drugs or prostitution or whatever. And this world that we live in that's so sophisticated, it is dropping the ball so much. And people are at a loss of what to do. They think that this happiness is here and it should be there all the time. No, just like the brother just mentioned, learn and earn. It's contained in there. If you want it, be willing to work for it. And then when you do it that way and you get it, it's one of your possessions. You possess it, but it also possesses you. And the first thing you want to do is share that with somebody else. So we thank you for your time tonight. We appreciate you. And we ask Allah to give you the peace that only He can give. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.